Blog Talk Radio.
Sublime. It's enjoyable to know you in the concubine. Niggas, take off your coats. Ladies, act like gems. Sit down. Indian styles, you recite these hymns. See, lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momo. Ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo. Heard me in the 80s, JV's on the promo. Am I never in the quest to get the paper on the caper? But now, let me take it to the queen side. I'm taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential questions to invade the air. Hold up a second, son, cause we almost there. You could be a black man and lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the road. See, my shit is universal if you got knowledge of solo or self myself. See, there's no one else who could drop it on the angle. They're cute at that. So do that, do that, do that, that, that.
Come on,
do that, do that.
Good evening, good evening. Hope everybody's enjoying a wonderful week of sports. Albeit it was off and everything, but you'll find me on Facebook as well. Just type above left hand corner of the window, search window, the Clown Times. Again, it's Constable K. If you ever find me there as well. You know, it's my last podcast. Sports news, one being the Shaq, the Shaquille O'Neal and beef, what I call a glorified pissy fit. I'm welcome to ask comments on the Baylor situation down there on the weekend, as well as Candace Wiggins throwing bars at the WNBA, saying that she was not only that she was bullied for being straight, but she contends that at least 98% of the WNBA is gay, or comprised of gay women. So lots of heavy stuff to talk about, but thankfully I have some help. Y'all know I'm from Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night on Block Talk Radio, as well as his HBCU sports blog called The Yard / HBCU Sports. The one and only Dwayne Nash.
Scott Burks, what's going on, brother?
Man, it's been a crazy ass 3 days of sports, man. But
who are you telling? From my perspective, it's probably just as crazy, if not crazier. So I completely understand what you're going through right now.
Hey, man, yo, as if we didn't have enough to talk about tonight. Mind you, we have a pretty full plate going on here. Let's just touch on, if you don't mind, briefly on what happened early today. You know, it's breaking news for those of you who don't know, or for those of you who care. Colin Kaepernick, former of the San Francisco 49ers, who just announced that he is going to opt out of his contract, become a free agent, recently announced to the world that he's no longer going to sit for the national anthem, or kneel, I should say. He's going to stand like everyone else and have his own, you know, private protest. And he said, you know, he said that he no longer wants his method to, I'm reading this from ESPN.com, but the protest to detract from the positive change he believes he has created. He also said the amount of national discussion on social inequality, as well as support from the athletes nationwide, including NFL and NBA players, affirmed the message he was trying to deliver. You know, when he began his protest way back when, seemingly, that even though that's not how I would have protested, I mean, hell, he was brave enough to do it during the anthem of all things. I respected his right to protest because that's in our Constitution, the First Amendment. That's his right. And, you know, it's like any protest, whether you're not, you may not like it, but you have to respect that person's right. I personally, you know, understand that he he's a free agent. He's looking for a new job. I think he kind of opened himself up to be called a fraud, being that, you know, he no longer has, you know, because last year his contract was guaranteed. And he pretty much had nothing to, well, I mean, he had nothing to lose in the sense that he was going to get his fat check for last season, no matter what. And now he's looking for a job, and being that lots of NFL executives apparently asked him, would he continue to kneel? I think this is a way of saying, yo, I'm still down for a cause, but brother man, I got to get paid. So that's why I think, even though he's trying to, he's probably going to do this behind the scenes going forward, he's opened himself up to a lot, and I'm trying to keep an open mind because I don't want to come off and call him a fraud because, again, I don't know what's in the brother's heart. I'm just saying it doesn't look good, at least from my vantage point.
And Scott, you're not the only one. I just found that the timing of this entire situation was very convenient from a financial standpoint. You know, you just made it known that you want to go ahead and test the free agency waters in order to make yourself a little bit more appealing to front offices, especially to those who fear that you may come in and not be receptive, received well by the fan base. You thought you'd go ahead and make this announcement that said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and stand now during the national anthem. And I just find it ironic that now with the current climate of our political situation that now he wants to go ahead and stand for the national anthem as if things have changed from what has happened since last August. It just seems like it's done out of convenience in order for him to move on someplace else and to get paid. And like you said, I don't want to go ahead and cast this dispersion on him, but my God, that's the way it looks right now.
Yeah, this will look good. That's so upset. And granted, you know, I was watching, because I was working from home today, I was watching Undisputed on Fox Sports 1. Great show, by the way, for those who don't know. You know, had Dr. Michael Eric Dyson on to talk about the situation as well.
Nice.
But that was before the break that he, being Colin Kaepernick, decided to, you know, I'm not going to kneel anymore. He was just basically speaking generally about, you know, his protests over this past season with Shannon Sharp getting nails. When that ran across the ticker while I was doing my work, yes, I really did do my work. Sports One. You know, I had mixed emotions. I'm like, part of me is like, you know, I know he has to do what he has to do, but a bigger part of me was so disappointed that, I mean, because look at any activist, any person who's partook in any type of social activism, it all comes with a sacrifice. That's the whole point of taking a stand, to me. Your life, in some cases. Most of the social activism going on in the 1960s. You know, the people who we look upon as heroically now, i.e. Dr. King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, they were vilified at the time, not only by whites, but for our own people, especially in Dr. King's case. So just all of a sudden, because he realized he needs a check, in the standpoint that, you know, he won't know if he's guaranteed a check or a job next year or not in the NFL, he's like, you know what, I'm good. I think I've fulfilled my metrics as creating change and whatnot. I mean, what are his metrics? You know, what in this mind constitutes, you know what, I made progress. Progress is made. I think I'm good. I know he said he talked to other people around the league and other sports, but it's just a test of smell test. And interestingly enough, Colin Cowherd on the show today, he really was one of the few who actually didn't have a problem with protest.
You know, and I was one of the many that didn't have an issue either. It was it was a glorious thing because of the attention one that it garnered and the movement that it started. It wasn't just pro players that did it, collegiate players did it, high school players were doing it. So it brought attention to a situation that needs to have eyes on it, and not only by those who were affected, but by those who needed to see that there was a problem going on. Now, I guess what he's decided to do is take the Jay-Z approach. I can't help the poor if I'm one of them, which I get. But once again, I'm out of that mindset, and it was weird that it took LeVar Arrington to point this out while talking about actually the protesters who were protesting the Washington football team's name change. In order for something to change, you're going to have to make a sacrifice. Something huge, you're going to have to lose something. You know, and that was one of the things that I was concerned about, because I knew that all eyes would be on him and every move that he would make ever since taking that initial knee, from the pig top socks to the Malcolm X Fidel Castro T-shirt. Every move he made was going to be, every move he made was going to be criticized. And for you to go through all of that all of a sudden just to stop just like that, potentially because of the money situation, it's just real fishy to me. And it's almost, I really hope it doesn't discredit all of the work that he's done and all the people that he's affected in doing so. I really hope not. But that's going to be one of the things that you're potentially going to hear within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good. Again, I don't know the brother's heart. I really don't know. But from the outside looking in, it just screams fraud to me. It just screams like he did it because he knew he was going to get paid. He knew he was going to lose anything. Well, it's time for a job. The job reviews be coming in, you know, potentially. He's like, you know, I'm good. I mean, think about and I promise I won't spend too much time on this because I know we got a full plate ahead of us, but I just think about the Jim Browns of the world, the Bill Russells, especially the Muhammad Ali's, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, the Rayford Johnsons of the world. You know, all those brothers who went to that Black Sports Athlete Summit in the summer of 1967, to support
Bobby
Muhammad
Mitchell,
Ali,
yes, sir.
To not go to the Vietnam, participate in the Vietnam War. Those guys, particularly Jim Brown, their activism burnt the way. Of endorsements. I know it would have been millions back, you know, way back in the day, but, I mean, just think about it. I mean, an athlete like Jim Brown, a champion like Bill Russell in the league's leading score in NBA history, and who was also a six-time champion, multi-MVP winner, and Kareem, they sacrificed so much more money in terms of lucrative opportunities outside of the sport, because they took a stand for what they believe and what we believe is right, what was right. And, you know, just looking back at history, Muhammad Ali, it cost them his prime years, being years when he was undefeated. Just think about what if.
But exactly.
He took a stand, perhaps saved his own life by not going to Vietnam in the meantime. And, you know, while he's remembered finally now, especially after his death, I mean, since his death, I mean, it cost him his prime. I mean, sure, he wanted to regain the boxing championship years after getting knocked out by Joe Frazier in 71, but that cost him his prime. His prime years of boxing. That's the whole thing is activism is about. You're going to sacrifice something, and you got to go into it knowing that you're going to get some backlash, and, you know, in Dr. King's case, it cost him his life, as well as Malcolm X, cost them their life. You know, That's what the whole thing of social activism is. And I'm just so disappointed. Again, I'm just telling a grown man what to do. And when Colin Kaepernick, he's still a young man. Maybe, again, he may be still doing stuff behind the scenes. But it just doesn't look good. It really does not look good to me. I'm just a little
And you know what? Even with all the things that he may be doing potentially behind the scenes, it's just that, behind the scenes. It's just one act here. And the timeliness, it's all about timing.
Right.
With that happening, as he's making the announcement that he wants to become a free agent, and we all know that, you know, there are a lot of fans in the league that didn't look, you know, highly of him, and maybe people in the front office that didn't look highly on his actions. And for you to do so while you're making this announcement just does not look good at all. It doesn't.
But yeah, let's go from the disappointing to the absolutely insane. The Shaquille O'Neal, JaVale McGee beef / hissy fit. We all know what happened to 2022. We start off with Shaq and the Fool, the segment Shaq and the Fool on NBA on TNT, which is hilarious, by the way.
Yes.
By the way, Shaq is doing a damn good job on TNT and NBA on TNT. I just want to point that out, too. He started with JaVale McGee, was it last year? And maybe before that.
He started with JaVale while JaVale was still a Wizard.
So that's like 2-3 years ago or something like that?
No, my brother. That is well over 5-6 years ago.
Oh, well, there you go.
he's been giving it to JaVale for some time.
And he wasn't the only one. I mean, because you should know, you're a D.C. sports fan, and I'm an NBA fan. JaVale has been underachieving. He's underachieved most of his career, which is too bad because he has the size and the talent to be a damn good center in the NBA. But, you know, things such as ball bouncing off his head, running down court when his team's on offense, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's a lot of
shoot the wrong basket. Yeah,
I mean, it's as if he's like, if he left, it's almost as if he left his brain on the bench or at his crib when he comes to. I mean, it's obvious that he doesn't have a high basketball IQ. That's obvious. However, he's doing pretty well in Sacramento, in Golden State. He found a home. He's found his own niche. He's playing pretty good basketball.
Actually, he is coming off the bench playing good basketball.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the whole thing is Shaq kept getting on his case. And, you know, again, you know, he's getting paid to analyze the game. He's getting paid to point things out, I'll be honest. I just think when he took a little too far when he called JaVale a bum ass. Hashtag bum ass. You know, I mean, it's funny, but, I mean, he took it too far. I mean, the whole thing is, it's one thing offering criticism. It's another thing to make it personal. And he came off to me, he being Shaq, as a big bully in this episode near the end. Because JaVale, he had enough. He spoke up for himself, and, you know, Shaq could have just said, you know what, whatever, man. I mean, you're playing well, whatever. But he decided to take it personal. JaVale, he didn't back down. He didn't talk. He came back at him. And it got to a point where both of their mamas told him to stop it, basically. And, you know, with Miss McGee calling for Shaq's job and for Shaq's mama telling Shaq to pipe down, stand down, it just got so overblown. It's like being in fifth grade all over again. You know?
Yeah.
You're stupid. No. You're stupid, you know, shit like that. I mean, so basically, do you think Shaq being a bully or was JaVale being overly sensitive, basically?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's a combination of the two. It really didn't elevate, really, until his teammates in the organization of Golden State got involved. The whole bum-ass comment came, I can't remember if it was Draymond that came to his defense and said a comment about Shaq, and that's when Shaq came back with the bum-ass and went back and forth.
It was KD.
And then next thing you know,
KD too.
Oh, that's right. It was KD.
Yeah,
it was Kevin Durant that said it.
Yeah.
So you know, you had that go on. What he's doing is basically defending his teammate, which I understand. And
sure,
I just find it interesting that, you know, if people did like, I wasn't even intending to do so. I was just looking to see how this whole beef started in terms of the past couple of weeks. And I stumbled on a video on YouTube of another Shaq and the Fool. It was a post-game interview with JaVale McGee on Shaq's birthday. This had to have been while JaVale was in Denver. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was a couple years ago when Shaq, I think, turned 40. So it had to have been at least 3 or 4 years ago. During that interview, you know, Shaq actually said to him, you know what, young brother, before there was you, I was the original Tragic Bronson. So don't look at this as me just coming at you, picking on you out of nowhere. It's because I know where you're coming from because I was you when I was a rookie. I was the one out there making these bonehead mistakes. So I understand where it is you're coming from. I'm just doing this all in the name of fun. But even while doing that interview, JaVale seemed a little testy. You know, calling him, what did he call it, Shaq and the Coon, and all kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, he's still,
which I hate that word, by the way. I hate that word.
You and I both, and you know, he just basically was being sensitive then, and I understand it's been going on for years, and he's still sensitive about it, but he decided to go ahead and speak out about it. But the whole back and forth is completely unnecessary, man. Just go ahead, do your job. You know what? At this point, JaVale, you still shouldn't be making these bonehead plays. I would say this.
Yeah.
Even coming off the bench, this is one of his best years statistically in a limited role going back to about 2012, 2013. And he's playing that role very well. When I heard that JaVale was coming to Golden State, looking at that offense and looking at what he could do being a very athletic big, all he had to do was just basically be there for alley-oops and rebounds from long shots and just dunk the ball in there. That's all you had to do. You had got one job, dude, and you're doing it well. Don't worry about it. You're on a good team. You're in a situation where you could potentially thrive. Just go ahead and play good ball, man. But, you know, I understand that at a certain point, man, you know, it's not the fact that there's straws on the camel's back. It's how many straws that's on it. And he just it got to a breaking point with him.
You know what? In the balance of this, I can't believe I'm defending this guy because I always thought that he was an underachiever. At the end of the day, he's still a man. And, you know.
Exactly.
And you know the code. I mean, a man can only take so much crap, okay, to the point where he reaches that breaking point, he lashes out. I understand. But, dude, you're an NBA player. You're in a great situation. And to your point, Dwayne, he's in a limited role. He's come off the bench, so there's really not a lot of pressure on him. All he has to do is stand under the goal, collect rebounds, and block shots, which he's doing well this year. He's playing good defense. He's actually a rim protector that Golden State sorely needed this season because they gutted the bench in order to get KD. So I would say to both of these brothers this. JaVale, you're doing your thing. Keep your head on. You're still getting paid a lot of money. You're probably going to be in the more likely be in the finals in order to get a shot to win your first ring. I just keep quiet. You can speak up for yourself, but just keep quiet and keep it moving. And for Shaq, bruh, just give it up. I mean, I know he gave it up eventually because his mama made him do so. But dude, just give it up. Just don't let it get personal. Because by all accounts, Shaq is one good dude. He's a very good dude, by all accounts.
Yeah.
But he became a bully. And he came off as a bully, rather. And that's not a good look for him either. So, to both of these grown brothers, stop at your age and at shoe sizes. Okay? Just move along and put it behind you. And both of y'all keep doing your thing, because both of them doing great jobs with what they're doing this year, particularly JaVale with Golden State.
Well, I mean, basically, Shaq is doing what I will be doing at the age of 22, but, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
But, I mean, it's a golden goose in Golden State. You just got all this foolishness coming from this dude, man. I'm sorry, at some point, he's been in the league 10 years. He need to figure out how to get it right at some point. And so,
right.
I don't know, JaVale. I'm just asking that you just go ahead. If you go ahead and just get it right, you won't get picked on, dude. Just do that.
Right.
10 years. Come on, bro.
Yeah. I mean, just keep your head down. Keep it moving. That's all. Just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Man, as if that's not ridiculous enough, here comes Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey, iconic coach of Baylor's women's basketball. Damn good coach, and by all accounts, a damn good player. Which she played. I mean, she was the truth, man. She was it. And I really love her style. I love the way she's outspoken. I love the way that she's championed the women's game. I love the way she's openly challenged Gino Auriemma at UConn, you know, mm-hmm. doing her thing. However, what she said on the weekend is the classic insert foot, big-ass foot in your mouth.
Yes.
Okay, she, before the game, I think it was like before the game, it's like a home game they had over, her team had over the weekend, I think it was.
Yeah, it was this
team. Yeah, she basically told Baylor fans right before the game that if people tell them that they will never send their daughters to Baylor, they should, quote, knock them right in the face. That was just tone deaf and just the board of common sense. I mean, if you really want the media to stop talking about your school, to stop talking about Baylor and what was going with it. Stop talking. Shut the bleep up about it. I understand folks in sports, when they want stuff to be talked about, they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep talking about it. Just shut the hell up and move on. If you really want stuff to blow over, don't bring it up.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that. I can't believe grown people keep making that mistake over and over and over again. I just don't know, bro. I just don't know. And again, I like Mulkey a lot. I like her style. I like the way she's doing her thing on the coaching level in college, in women's college sports.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, and by the way, she had a tearful press conference earlier today saying she was sorry. And mean, more about that, blah blah blah. Essentially, crocodile tears, but still, I mean, that cat is way out. I mean, that pig just left the barn a long time ago. It's not going to come back anytime soon.
Oh no, it won't. And also, that doesn't mean that. Our bobblehead for Sleeves of the Week will be coming back either, because we named her Sleeves of the Week on the show last night for her comments. And I just thought it was weird, first and foremost, that she threatened or said that people should punch people in the mouth if they feel as though that they shouldn't send their daughters to Baylor. And then post-game, talk about how, you know, both her and her daughter both went to Baylor and nothing happened to them. My thing is this. I learned the lesson the hard way, and I like to thank Ray Rice for this. Never ever defend anybody that you weren't there for in that situation, because you know what happens? It's going to turn up and bite you in the butt. Yeah. I was that guy that was going ahead defending people. Oh, my God, you know what? There's no way in the world they can be capable of doing this. Next thing you know, here's the videotape of old boy dragging your girl out of the elevator. Never again. Never again. And if you weren't there, shut your mouth. Do you want this thing to pass over? Your mouth. 52 players accused of sexual assault. I guarantee you weren't there for any of that. Well, I hope that you weren't there for any of that. I shouldn't even put that guarantee out there. I don't know. Maybe she was. But once again, you want this thing to blow over. Baylor needs some healing badly. The last thing they need is negative attention brought to them
about this situation by you telling people to punch people in the mouth for not sending their daughters to Waco. Just let this go. Let the time heal itself. The program will be. Matter of fact, the basketball program isn't even affected. Just do what you need to do. Strive for a national title. Let the football program handle itself, and everything will be okay in Texas.
I just, you know, you know what happened shortly after she ran a yap. A young man, a Baylor football player, had a protective order foul against him, and he got his ass suspended. So
see,
it ain't going to work. You know, and here's the thing: Baylor has an awesome opportunity to be a beacon, if you will, to show the rest of college athletics a positive example of turning around and doing things right. I mean, because this school that has had a long history of doing things the wrong way. Remember that murder charge that in the early 2000s. When, you know, one player murdered his teammate?
Yes.
With drugs?
Yes, you bring it up. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. I mean, this ain't the first time, Baylor. And, you know, that town, Waco, has some suspect history, too.
Yeah, you know, buddy.
If you don't know, you better Google. That's all I got to say. You better Google Waco, Texas. You see some weird stuff happening down there. I'm not talking about David Koresh. There's much more outside of David Koresh, that's happening.
Oh, wow.
Again, Google. All you got to do is Google. And here's a hint. Google Black History in Waco, Texas.
Uh-oh.
You You're welcome. But at any rate, that's all I got to say. But getting back to this, my point in saying all that is this. The Big 12 Conference, while they're still around, has come down on Baylor in the sense that they have withheld their share of the television pie from them. I think that comes down to what, like a few millions of dollars. And they word on the street was that they wanted to do more. You know, they wanted to do more, but they decided to stay with that. Stuff like this, it's not going to sit well with the commissioner. It's not going to sit well potentially with the NCAA because who knows what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is an example of smart people, smart, talented people doing boneheaded crap. If you want stuff to blow over, it's common sense 101. Just shut the hell up about it. Okay? It will blow over. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Let's just see here. So, we've gone from, Kaepernick to hacking JaVale McGee's hissy fit to Monkey running her yap and putting her foot in her mouth.
Yeah.
Something very serious here. Candace Wiggins. Candace Wiggins said over the weekend that, let me see here, that she told the Union Tribune paper that the WNBA had a, quote, very, very home culture bullied the 15. She learns that she was her. Me being heterosexual and straight and being vocal in my identity as a straight woman was huge. And this is the kicker here. I would say 98% of the women in the WNBA place was a whole different set of women. She was like the top two or three picks in the WNBA draft in 2008. She was the truth. I remember her in college. She was the truth.
Yeah.
She was taking it to the young ladies up at UConn, like in a tournament and during the regular season, because in women's college basketball, one of the cool things they do is the best teams from no matter what conference you're from during the regular season. Like Tennessee did, years. Her and Gina used to play each other twice, as well as, you know, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
They made a good... it's two things for me. First, when I first read the story, I thought that, you know, this is a classic case of double standards. You know, like our LGBTQ friends, they, and rightfully so, they want to preach tolerance. And it seems like to me that when a person from the straight community, if you will, says something that maybe not particularly all that harmful or just being different, it's like they get, it's as if they're not afforded that same type of courtesy that our LGBTQ friends were like. I mean, there are stories about, you know, people going on cruises or vacations or going to events as allies and then being ostracized by other gay people who are not their friends, who they were there with to support, just Q friends who are still ostracized by the LGBT community at large. So, you know, that's something, you know what I mean, when it comes to that stuff. But I have a, what was that? Well, I want to say it first, but basically it was a talk during that time. And that was on board until I noticed it was published by the 700 Club. And this is what this tells me. She played on teams in, what was it, how many years? 8 years?
And she went about 8, 9 years,
that tells me, basically, that she, whether she was outspoken about her straightness, whether she made her homosexual teammates feel uncomfortable, a player that talented should not be bouncing around four teams in 8 years, especially not one who's drafted the top three in her draft, at least top three or top five in her draft. And for her to say that 98% of women in the WNBA are gay, did she tour every NBA squad? I know she played on four teams in eight years, but did she tour every squad? Did she take, like, did she do any scientific testing? Did she take surveys? And granted, there are women who are named Candace Parker and Skylar Diggins and, you know, other talented NBA players, NBA stars, Sue Bird, who are straight.
Yeah.
You know, there are plenty of straight WNBA players who happen to be superstars.
Yeah.
Okay? So that 98% is garbage. And from what I understand, I heard that say, on the radio, that someone familiar, I guess from ESPN, wanted to follow up with Wiggins on the 98% proclamation. And she said, again, this was reported, and she Wiggins said, quote, "Just wait for the book to come out," end quote. So there you have it.
Wow.
I think that I'm not saying that she did not experience any bullying. I hope that's not the case, but I'm not saying that something didn't go down. I'm just saying that I think she had the axe to grind. I think she played, again, on four teams in 8 years with her talent level, and I think that she's looking to get paid and looking to throw the WNBA under the bus. A league that, while it's still thriving, is still struggling to connect with people outside of the female community.
Exactly.
Because dudes think that they're a bunch of gay women playing sports. Let's just be real about it. So, it might be off base in the sense that I think that Wiggins is in this for the attention, that she has, like, an axe to grind with the league over her experience. Or maybe that thing didn't go the way she planned.
Well, my thing is this. It's book time for her, and we've already seen in the past couple of months what happens when it's book time, and when that happens, a lot of people get tossed out there in the ringer. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of dirt just kicked up, be it true or not. Mm-hmm. The thing that stuck out to me, of course, was the claim of the 98% of the women in the league being gay. The other thing that was thrown out there that we didn't discuss was the fact that nobody is watching the games.
Yeah.
And it kind of leads to a real hilarious joke from the show Black-ish, where it basically made a joke saying that, you know, be careful, God is watching. He watches everything except for the WNBA. Nobody likes watching the WNBA.
Oh, that's
hilarious, but it's cold-blooded.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back to a point about that. Now, regardless of what she said, of course, everyone from the league, from front office people to coaches to current players, are all coming to defend the league, saying that, you know, first and foremost, it's irresponsible to throw out the number that 98% of the women out there are gay, because that's not true. Also, if she felt as though that she's been bullied, she should have come out to the right people to say something about it, because it would have been stopped. But the current Mystics coach, the Washington Mystics coach, said something that made me think and actually look at this particular article that she wrote, that Wiggins wrote, actually, for the Players Tribune, where he talks about her being a defensive stalwart. And in doing so, what she would do is attempt to mess with players mentally. Now, it's a possibility that she was being called out of her name because of some of the things that she would do in order to agitate a player to get into their heads and affect their offensive output, which is a high possibility why she was called the name. Now, if it's anything outside of that, you know, then it's a problem. But if that's the cause, Candace, you know better. You know that you were doing whatever. Matter of fact, she was bragging about this. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find a quote here. It says from her, and I quote, "It's like I'm Freddy Krueger." So basically, if you're familiar with the Nightmare on Elm Street brand, his whole thing was about mind games. So that's and that was something that she was aiming to. Matter of fact, she said she relished in the fact of going from an offensive scorer to being a defensive stalwart, and did whatever she could to make sure that she would stop someone from scoring points, and she enjoyed it. So if that's the reason why he was being called a name, you got to take that with the punches, because you dish it out, you got to be able to take it. But if it's outside of that and it has something to do with her sexual preference, then it's an issue, and it needs to be addressed. But it's entirely too late now for it to address her, because she's no longer playing. But if you're going to shine a light, and I don't know exactly how bright of a light, on the WNBA, on this whole bullying situation from the LGBT community, and hopefully, it's not, we don't find anything that comes out being detrimental to the league and to the players that are homosexual doing this to straight players that play in that league.
Well, yeah, I mean, Candace Wiggins, she made this thing a whole, I mean, you could kind of sense that tension was probably there, to be frank, because there are, I'm not saying the 98% of the WNBA players are gay, but there are a lot of gay players in the WNBA, let's just be real.
Yes, it is, yeah.
As well, there are a lot of straight players in the NBA, both of which are nice-looking, athletic women stars.
Yeah.
So there's that tension. That tension is going to be there. And it's something that's overshadowed the league in terms of viability and exposure and popularity. But for Wiggins to do this, just to fan those flames, that's less than the WNBA needed. And
no, it's not.
And she just turns this whole thing to classic cluster bleep. Okay? It's like a firestorm now. So I hope that, I mean, I hope that, and I'm a pragmatist by nature, but I won't be a little optimistic in this moment. I'm hoping that she didn't do this just for the exposure. I'm hoping that she didn't do this to sell a book, to promote a book. Because that's what it's come off to me as. again, you bounce around a woman that talented, top three or four in the draft, star coming out of Stanford University, bounce around four WNBA teams in 8 years. 8 seasons. That's not good. And, you know, it's easy to say that she underachieved. It's easy to say that she did not live up to her billing coming out of college. And to me, it appears that, again, she may have experienced such stuff going on, again, because of the aforementioned I mentioned. But to me, I think that she's in a forced makeup box. And I think she's going to throw the WNBA under the bus to line her pockets and book sales, picture book sales, and that's unfortunate. And you know that they're going to be behind. They, being the media, are going to pound the pine for her book to come out. And this crap is going to come up time and over again. And I'm disappointed because this doesn't look like she's having such a legit gripe as much as an extra grind. So I don't know. This is a crazy ass week in sports, man.
Once again, who you telling? For whatever reason, those that are in Ashburn, Virginia, felt as though that they saw what was going on with the New York Knicks and said, "Ooh, look at that dumpster fire." But you know what? I got a strange feeling that we can do better. And they decided to go ahead and start throwing gasoline in their dumpster. How do you release news that your GM is potentially drinking and now has to take a leave of absence because his grandmama died, but now you're saying that she died in the first week of February, now it's the 20th of February, and now he won't be able to make it to the combine? And it's just a huge mess going on for the Washington Redskins right now, man. And that's just a small piece of all of the other stuff that's going on in sports right now. The Kevin Durant injury, which, of course, I was reminded happened on March the 1st, a.k.a. 3-1. They'll never let that 3-1 thing go away with Golden State, I swear. But, you know. It gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to talk about.
We can talk that quick for sure. It's going to be the story of the rest of the NBA season. So we'll definitely talk about that next week. Among it.
Yes.
And I'll be thinking about you and Brett about this latest stuff. It's unbelievable.
Oh.
It's unbelievable.
Oh.
Unbelievable. All right, brother. Be good, man. Thanks again.
You do the same. All right, bro.
All right, peace out.
Peace.
Nash, check him out again. Sleazy Radio, Law Talk Radio, every Tuesday night, as well as his blog. Crazy, crazy week in sports. And putting up a bus. Scott Brooks with the Clown Hour. Sign off, 06. Good night.